Yeah, 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 yeah. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. There is your deck of yeah for a Friday. The program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, welcome to the program. Nice to have you here. Lots to get to today, and we're going to start early. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. I say early because not only do I have an interview next segment, I have it early next segment. Jimmy Johnson joins me in about 15 minutes. So that's coming up first. NASCAR driver, the driver of the 48, Jimmy Johnson, in about 15 minutes. In a little bit, I'd say maybe 30 minutes from right now, Fletcher McGee, Wofford Terriers guard, joins us. Selection Sunday coming up this weekend, and you've got conference championship games everywhere this weekend, so we'll talk some more college basketball. Second hour is wide open. Coming up in hour number three, Dallas Mavericks assistant coach, God Shamgod. Not only one of the great names, but a legend. A legendary figure in the game. So we'll have him in the third hour. Speaking of legends, Alvin's legendary week that was in hour number three. The ATP coming up as well. You have your phone number. You know to find me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so a lot to cover. Let me start first with the two big questions going into last night's Syracuse-Duke game, better known as the return of Zion. Two big questions coming in. First one was, what shoes was he going to wear? And the answer is, a different model. He went with a pair named after a point guard in Boston instead of a wing in OKC. And a certain shoe company went to great lengths to tell everybody about the great lengths that they went to make sure that these did not blow out. And then a lot of people gave a lot of free advertising to that company because of that. But of course, the biggest question of all was, is Zion back? How would he look? Well, to answer that question, is he back? Roll this.
Cross court, it's Boeheim in on Reddish. The longer player forced the pass, and now a steal by Zion. And a run out, and a right-handed rack attack that sends this place into a frenzy.
Learfield IMG with that. Back. Back. It's like the guy never left. He had 11 of Duke's first 17 points. The opening of last night's game was one of the more impressive and electric things that I've seen in a long time. I mean, seriously, that's not hyperbole to make you pay attention. I mean, that is the truth. That is one of the most electric things I've seen in a long time. I mean, rust. Rust. Hell, the guy's never looked better. And he's not just exciting. He's well beyond that. How many times did he do something last night that had both the announcers and everybody at home watching lose their bleep? The guy had 21. He was perfect from the field. He had 9 rebounds and 5 steals. 21 points, perfect from the field, 9 rebounds, 5 steals, and he did that in the first half. That's an all-time great ACC tournament game there, and he had it in the first half. And that was his first game back after injury. So you're telling me that guy was returning from a knee injury. Yeah, that or they went right back into the lab, and he had some new parts installed. This dude's not even human, right? And I'll be clear about this, too, because sometimes when the media and the fans are hyping up an athlete so much and they say, hey, man, he's not human, she's not human, it's actually demeaning, because what it does is it devalues the work that that athlete's put in. It diminishes the crazy work ethic, the long hours of grinding and grinding to become better. And I know Zion's done all of that. So when I say this guy's not human, I mean, he's doing things that humans don't do. He's breaking my brain every time he steps onto the floor. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim. He can better explain it than me.
I've been in this game over 50 years, and I've seen a lot of great players. I'm not saying he's better than those guys, but he's a different player. He can do things that nobody has done in this game.
That's more than a half a century of basketball knowledge talking. And that's a guy saying, I've never seen a guy like this. I've never seen this guy do things that he's doing right now. I've never seen anybody do what this guy can do. And there's more. Check with Boeheim's assistant, Alan Griffin. He told Yahoo, quote, he's like the Incredible Hulk. You ever see that movie where he jumps up and over people and he smashes them? That's what he reminds me of, end quote. And that's what he did pretty much. He jumped up and over and smashed Syracuse. He finished with 29, 13 of 13 from the floor, 14 boards, 5 steals. The first Duke player to go for 25, 10, and 5 since Christian Laettner. And as good a college player as Laettner was, he never threw down the nastiness that Zion does on a regular basis.
Jones a lob to Barrett to Zion! Flying in to rock the rim! Reddish on the right. He'll take it. It won't go. Zion got the rebound, put it off the window, count it, and a chance for three. Now for Jones. Into the post and Zion cutting through, put it off the window and in. A spectacular finish. He is taking over here in Charlotte.
And the thing about Zion is, it's not just about the dunks or being a perfect 13 of 13 from the floor. It's the energy that this guy brings. He does the big things and he does the little things. Hustling back on defense, getting his hands in the passing lanes, tipping loose balls, rebounds. I mean, even in that one area where he didn't dominate last night, the free throw line, he had a great description. Quote, couldn't really throw a tennis ball into the ocean with my free throws, so I don't consider that perfect. End quote. So even when the guy's not perfect, he's perfect. He even conducted a post-game locker room interview with his teammate, Jordan Goldwire.
Jay Go. First off, I'd like to say I'm excited to be back on this. It's been a while. But Jay Go, you really brought the energy out. Players, like, what was going through your mind when you were, like, on defense?
Just come in the game, give the team a spark. I knew he was hitting some shots. I just tried to take away, not even let him catch the ball. Then whenever he did shoot, just try to keep it here.
Did you expect me to throw that full court pass?
Bro, I seen the ball in the air. I didn't even know. I just had to run and go get it, but it was a great pass. And then I seen RJ for the dunk, and it was just a great play.
Two solid plays.
All right, Z, it was great having you back today. Express to me how it felt to be back on the court.
It was great being back on the court with my brothers. I really feel like I brought some energy, and we got the win. That's what I'm most excited about.
And also, you set a Duke record, 13 field goals without a miss. Just tell me what was going through your head.
My teammates were giving me the ball in the right places, and I was able to finish, so that's simple.
All right, Duke Planet, this is Jay Gold.
Man, is that guy having much fun? Starting to get the idea why he did come back. More on that in a minute. Meantime, Syracuse had no answer for Zion. Well, no legal answer, because Syracuse's Frank Howard did have one attempted answer, tripping. The clip went viral almost instantly, and it looked bad. You know why it looked bad? Because it was bad. Bush League. Complete and total Bush League. Howard said after the game, he did not do it intentionally. Quote, I'm not going to wait 4 years to get to this stage to start tripping people. If you're a competitor, if you're a basketball player, it's war. And it's a way of war, an art of war. And I don't want people, or I don't want to win like that. If I got to trip people, try to hurt somebody, he's a great kid. And you know, it's silly. I understand we're in the era of clicks. Everybody got to get clicks, but don't do that. End quote. Listen, we're dealing with a college athlete. I'm not here to crush a college athlete. That's not my deal. Everybody does dumb things in college that we wouldn't have to answer for, myself included. I don't know what was and what wasn't in Frank Howard's mind. I'm sure the guy didn't show up at the arena last night with a plan to trip Zion Williamson. But in that moment, it sure as hell looks like he tried to trip him. Now, I'm not going to get all Kevin Costner on it and break it down frame by frame. But from where I'm sitting, that sure does not look like an accident. Maybe he wasn't even doing it consciously, but it looks intentional. It's not a natural move of the foot to get in Zion's way. And the only good thing from that moment was the fact that Zion did not go down and get injured. And it's a damn good thing that Zion kept dominating, because that's the real story from last night. If he never played another college game after that shoe explosion on February 20th, nobody would have faulted him at all. But to hear him tell it, there was no chance that that was not going to happen. This guy was not going to leave his teammates.
I wanted to be out there every game. You know, I see my brothers out there battling, and I just wanted to go to war with them. There was no question about it. I knew I was going to be back. Everybody has their right to their own opinion, but I knew I was coming back the whole time.
In other words, thank you for thinking of me, but I'm going to do what I always do, dominate. Personally, I couldn't respect that anymore. I said at the time, I was not going to tell this guy what to do. I'd respect him no matter what he did. I was going to respect the choice no matter what it was, but I'm still in awe. I'm in awe that he not only came back, but that he came back the way he did. This guy knows what's on the line. He knows what's at risk. Literally hundreds of millions of dollars, and he still wants to go out there and he wants to battle with his teammates. And not just battle, but do it at an amazing level. Because there is nothing cautious about how he played last night. This guy knows only one speed, Zion speed. Thought it was awesome. All right, more on that when we come back. Also, when we come back, the driver of the 48 car, NASCAR icon, Jimmy Johnson. That's coming up next. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. So you've got plans to finally do some work on your car. Hood's up, you're ready to go, and you're missing a tool. It's one that you do not have, and frankly, probably will never need ever again, but you do need it right now. So what do? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. With more than 80 specialized loaner tools available, they're sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. So are you working on your steering? You may need a ball joint press or a tie rod separator. Two tools that you may never need again. Are you looking at your engine? You can borrow a valve spring or a piston ring compressor. Then you can return it. O'Reilly has tools for steering and suspension, to fix brakes, tires and wheels, AC and cooling, even diagnostic tools that you know are going to put you on the right path. Just purchase the needed parts, put down a deposit on the loaner tool, return the tool in its original condition, and you receive a full refund. The deposit is the purchase price. It's that easy. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
When they say 918 Pacific, they mean 918 Pacific. We are joined right now by the driver of the number 48, Ally Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, 7-time Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champ, 2-time Daytona 500 champ, 4-time Brickyard 400 champ, tied for 6th on the all-time Monster Energy Series wins list with 83. He's got the series record with 14 playoff berths every season since the playoff inception back in 04. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series West Coast Swing concludes Sunday in Fontana with the Auto Club 400 at Auto Club Speedway, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 12:30 p.m. Pacific on Fox. Jimmy Johnson is my guest. Jimmy, good to have you back. How are you?
Thanks, man. Good to be on the show again.
Good to have you on the show again. All right, so you're about 48 hours away, Jimmy, from Sunday's race in Fontana. You're coming off a solid performance in Phoenix. How are you feeling right now, and what is the vibe around the team right now?
Yeah, Phoenix was a better showing. You know, there's a lot of new this year with the new rules package that's come in with the higher horsepower at some tracks and the lower horsepower at others, but a huge aero shift in the shape of the car and the spoiler on the back and some ground effects up under the nose of the car. So we're still trying to get our arms around it. Phoenix went really well. Vegas went well. The second half of the race, we kind of lost touch and had a poor finish. Atlanta was a disaster. Daytona, with a different rules package altogether, went really well. So, you know, it's just early. It's hard to really say where we're at. I know we're not where we want to be just yet. There are some cars that are showing dominance, and that's what I want to be.
We're talking to you, Jimmy Johnson. All right, so since the last time you and I spoke, there has been a change at crew chief, and now you're with Kevin Mendering. Now that you've got a few races under your belt, what's that been like?
You know, it's definitely been different to go, 18 years, or I guess 17 years with Knaus, and to build the 48 into what it is, to really build our careers into what they are. It's been a shift. It was time. You know, Chad and I needed to kind of go separate directions. We're still as close as we've ever been. I'm helping him, you know, as much as I ever have, and he's there for me as well. So it really was time. But, you know, Kevin's come in with a much different approach, different personality, and a lot to prove as a young crew chief in the sport, and it's been going well.
Jimmy Johnson joining us. You know, that's not the only change, but when you've got a change in crew chief and you've got a change in sponsor, it can feel overwhelming to a lot of drivers. But from where I'm sitting, it seems like you've been energized by the whole thing. Is that right? And if so, how helpful has it been?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the timing of it all was, you know, it was tough to lose Lowe's as a sponsor after the, you know, time that we had together. And honestly, the same Chad and myself and Lowe's all started the same year together. So in a weird way, it was like we were turning the page on that chapter of the 48 and starting a new one. So timing was good. Ally is an amazing bank, great group of people that really like to shake up the marketplace and advertising, and are doing so, and have just been a great group to work with. So, you know, we're starting this next chapter, and we'll see where it takes us.
All right, so you got a new chapter, and then at the same time, you've got your own approach to it. For example, last month, Dale Jr. said this of you, quote, "Jimmy's super fired up. I don't know why. I mean, he's got a chip on his shoulder because people think he's done, and he's reading on social media about people telling him to retire, and he's washed up, and he's got a hell of a chip on his shoulder," end quote. That's Dale Jr. talking about you. Does that sound about right, and do you have a chip on your shoulder this season?
Yeah, there's different levels of it that's right. I mean, I don't necessarily feel like I have anything to prove, and I don't let social media shape, you know, my thoughts or beliefs about myself. But, you know, I'm human, and after a while you read enough or hear enough or watch dumbass comments on TV or the radio, and you're like, they have no clue. So, you know, that part kicks in, and I've tried to and I guess express myself at times in different ways, but none of it's changed who I am at the core. And I love competing. I love what I'm doing. You know, to even say retirement or think about it or think that my passion isn't here is just the furthest thing from my mind. So I just really look forward to getting back into that dominance that we once had, to where I can be like, look, it wasn't me. You know, there's a lot to it. Sure, I'm a part of the problem, but you know, some are quick to think that, you know, my time has passed, or I'm too old, or I'm not into it, which is just completely not the case.
I love that take, that there are always going to be dumbasses on TV who say things like that, and trolls on social media. And Jimmy, you've always been one to express yourself. Like, in terms of social media, you actually engaged one of these guys on Twitter who said that you should retire, and your response was, quote, "I'm far from done, J.A. It was an amazing response, and it went viral, and people started to make T-shirts with that line no sooner than you said it. What have you made of that response, and what do you think of the T-shirts?
Yeah, the shirts were fun. I had some fans show up at the track with them, and then we were able to find out who was making them and offer them on our website. So I see them occasionally at the track, and it's fun to drop that quote. And you know, I just can't wait to get the results back and just let the results speak for themselves. And that's the way I've always operated, and certainly want to get back to that and just be like, look, just look at the stats. Everything's fine.
Jimmy Johnson joining us. He's the driver of the 48, and the West Coast Swing concludes in Fontana this weekend. I saw you spending some time with my guy David Goggins back in January. How was that? How did the two of you come together?
Guy's a nut, man.
He is too, man.
So Hendrick Motorsports had him come in and speak to our group to kick off the 2019 season, and I'm in the process of getting ready for the Boston Marathon. So when Hendrick was trying to keep him busy for a day, he came in a day early due to some travel, you know, his travel schedule and such. Hendrick Motorsports is like, hey, we know the right guy that likes to run long. So we hooked up and went for a 20-miler. Been able to get to know him some sense, and have listened to his book and various podcasts he's been on, and really enjoyed his message and really the way he's had to overcome so much in his life. And I channel that from time to time when I get in one of those moods.
Jimmy Johnson, my guest, that's amazing that you did a 20-miler with him. For those who don't know Goggins, how would you describe him, and what do you make of his approach to life?
You know, when I first met him, I knew the name, and I knew the SEAL component, the fact that he was a Navy SEAL. He was very respectful and kind and nice, an amazing athlete, super fit. And then I kind of dove into the book and the stories and in the podcasts. And I just assume that he's always been, you know, this stud of a guy. And to understand his journey and what he had to fight for, even the moments of weakness when he wasn't the guy he wanted to be, and how that motivated him later in life to recreate himself and dig in and callous the mind and all that, just really cool. And, you know, we all feel like we're in this big rush to hurry up and get somewhere. And one point that he makes often that I love is that, you know, in life, there is no finish line until you're 6 feet under. You know, you can't just be in the society that you think in your late 30s, early 40s, like that's the peak of who you are as an individual. You know, there's a lot of runway left. You got to keep reinventing yourself and keep going. And I'm in that space where it's like, I'm far from done. You know, I'm still have a lot to prove and a lot to accomplish in life. And that message that he talks about often has really resonated with me.
That is such a good way to look at it. And I love that line about callousing the mind. He always talks about that. So, Jimmy, before you go, that being said, when you're at the top of your profession the way you are, the top of your profession, how do you look to get better? What is motivating you still yet to get better every single day?
And I think with experience, you just see patterns in your own personality. You see patterns in your work environment, the industry you're in, and even if you change industries, you know, I think you take something with you through all these experiences and kind of into some of Goggins' points about learning and growing your mind and callousing it and taking all those experiences to make you stronger. You know, I feel like I'm just in a spot where I can use that experience in a very beneficial way and really ask myself the tough questions. You know, we all lay there at night or whenever you go into deep thought, and there's stuff that swirls in your head, and I've become better at paying attention to those swirling thoughts and trying to figure out how to be better from it.
Jimmy Johnson, my guest, last thoughts. So you and I have always talked about the things you do away from the track, and we're discussing this right now, but you're now a month away from the Boston Marathon, which you're going to run in, your first full marathon. How pumped are you for that?
I'm excited. I really am. I'm also exhausted, to be quite honest.
Right.
The volume, the wear and tear from running. I've been cycling a lot over the last 5 years or so. So, you know, to get my body reacclimated to running and then to bump the volume up, you know, each and every week. And I'm at like 80 miles a week right now for the last couple. I'm cooked. So this is running tough on the body. I'm really enjoying the challenge, and I look forward to experiencing, you know, one of the major sporting events of the year.
80 miles a week. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series West Coast Swing. That's amazing. It's concluding Sunday in Fontana, the Auto Club 400 at the Auto Club Speedway, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 12:30 p.m. Pacific on Fox. Jimmy, great to have you back. Good luck with all of that, and I appreciate the relationship and you coming on the program.
Appreciate it, buddy. Be well.
Take care, bud. Great talking to you. 80 miles a week on top of the work he's already doing. And he came together with David Goggins. Goggins was episode 25 of the Jim Rome podcast. If you have not heard that, whenever somebody doubles back, whenever it comes up, like this is one of the better episodes, everybody points to Goggins. Goggins, if we've done 73 episodes, he's in everybody's top three. And I've met a lot of people, and I'm sure Jimmy Johnson would back me up on this. I've met a lot of people. I've been around a lot of different athletes. I've never been around a guy quite like David Goggins. So check that out. Episode 25 of the Jim Rome podcast. 1-800-636-8686. Hawk's got me thinking about you. He's up to 80 miles per week, and he's a month away from the marathon. You're a week away from your marathon, right? Go ahead. Throw him on real quick. You're a week away from yours, correct?
Yeah, it's next Sunday, so
and
9 days.
How many miles a week are you doing right now?
I haven't run in 10 days.
Awesome. Sounds like you're right where you want to be.
Yeah.
He's 80 miles a week, and he's a month out, and you haven't run in a week and a half.
No disrespect to the icon that is Jimmy Johnson, but he did specifically say, I am exhausted. Those were his words. I was listening very carefully.
Right, because he does 80 miles a week, Hawk.
I'm fresh. I'm ready to go.
Whatever gets you through that night, Hawk. Keep telling yourself that. All right, keep working it. When we come back, I might go a little deeper a little bit later on, or then again, I probably don't have to. I think I heard all I need to hear. Jimmy Johnson, legend. One of the best to ever do it. Running 80 miles a week. And he's a month out. Hawk not running at all, and he's a week out. Who do you think is going to do better? Wofford Terriers guard Fletcher McGee joins me when we come back. But I have a sports update for you. Here's the latest on this busy Friday. Andrew Bogish has all the details.
The Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Huge weekend of college basketball. Conference tourneys taking place nationally. Selection Sunday coming up this coming Sunday. Joining us right now is a guard for Wofford. Two-time Southern Conference Player of the Year. Three-time first-team all-conference player. Second all-time in NCAA history in made three-pointers. He had 20 points in Monday's win over UNC Greensboro. 21 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds per game this season. Wofford, 29-4, 18-0 in conference. Conference regular season and tournament champions. And as I mentioned, Selection Sunday is this Sunday. Fletcher McGee is my guest. Fletcher, great to have you on. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. Listen, I know you're not looking to make it about you, but I'm going to make it about you in a minute. But that said, let me start at that conference championship game and the performance that you got from Nathan Hoover. He had 20 points in the second half. Let me start there. What did you make of how he showed up when it mattered most?
Yeah, Nate was absolutely huge for us, you know, on Monday night. You know, he hit a ton of big shots down the stretch, you know, made all his free throws. You know, we really needed that boost from him because, you know, Cam was in foul trouble a little bit and I was struggling in the second half some, you know, and Nate really, you know, stepped up big for us. And, you know, I think he really took us home for sure.
You know, it's also a good reminder that Wofford is not just the Fletcher McGee show. I know that's something that's important to you. Now, you've been a part of some really good teams in your time there. What makes this particular group so special?
You know, I think our team this year, you know, we really love each other. We do a lot of things together. We just have great team chemistry. You know, and I think from top to bottom, you know, our team work ethic is as good as it's ever been. You know, it's hard, you know, to get shots sometimes up in the gym alone because there's always some people on the team are coming in and working. So, you know, it's just great, you know, when you have good chemistry and when everyone's working hard, I think, you know, that makes a good recipe to have a great team.
Fletcher McGee joining us. I'm going to get back to work ethic in a minute. But before the start of this year's conference tournament, the head coach, Mike Young, played a video for the team, which included highlights from previous great Wofford teams and players from those teams with messages for your team. He said that you had tears in your eyes watching it. What did you think when you saw that video? Why were you so moved by it?
You know, it was just really cool to see, you know, some of the guys I played with and some of the other Wofford greats that I knew, you know, get the job done, you know, and how hard, you know, you have to play and how together you have to play. And, you know, I knew that our team, you know, was built to do the same thing. And, you know, that we finally had, you know, our opportunity to get it done. You know, it was right there in front of us. You know, it was the seniors' last chance to do it. And we've always wanted to win the conference tournament and go to the NCAA tournament. So to just know that, you know, you have, you know, one more chance and, you know, you have everything lies in front of you, you know, and you control your own destiny. And so just seeing that from them and then just knowing, you know, how bad that we wanted to do it too, just made it, you know, emotional.
We're talking Wofford basketball, Fletcher McGee. Now, UNCG had gotten you guys in the conference tournament in the past. What did it mean then to win this time and know that you're going to the NCAA tournament?
Oh, yeah, it meant a ton. You know, like you said, they ended our season the last 2 years, you know, so we knew that we didn't want to make that. You know, we wanted to beat them for sure, you know, to get back to them. And, you know, to go to the NCAA tournament, you know, to win the conference tournament, you know, it's just a great feeling just because, you know, I know a lot of people said we still might have gotten in and stuff, but, you know, to just solidify it, you know, by winning the conference tournament, you know, that feeling of, you know, winning a championship is very special.
Fletcher, take me back, because when I talked to Mike Young, we talked about when he was recruiting you out of Florida and the kind of expectations he had for you. Your high school coach, Bill Buffton, has said that you came to him initially and you told him that you wanted to be the best shooter ever. And he said, I was kind of laughing because I've had a lot of kids come in here and they don't put in the time, but you did just that. What put that thought into your head that you wanted to be the best to ever shoot it, and what were you willing to do to work to get there?
Yeah, I think really when he came, it was a perfect storm because I was really just starting to fall in love with the game of basketball. And then, you know, he, you know, helped me with, you know, my shot mechanics, and he was helped me with my work ethic because he, you know, had the gym keys, so he could always get me into the gym. And so, you know, he had the resources. So, you know, when I told him that, you know, you always have to have big dreams and big expectations of yourself, and you know, it definitely takes a certain level of talent, but you know, I told him that I just knew that I wanted to, you know, do whatever it takes and outwork anyone, and I think that, you know, he helped me, you know, establish that hunger and provided, you know, the help and the resources for me to try to get there.
All right, so go back to that part about shot mechanics. I mean, there are some stories about what your jumper was like back in the day. Some people say that it was a little wacky, a little goofy, maybe in like even a two-handed set or shot put. I mean, what was your shot really like? Were people exaggerating this and clowning you a little bit, or did it really need that much work, Fletcher?
Yeah, I think people were probably exaggerating a little bit. I always played basketball growing up, so I didn't, you know, have like a horrible looking shot. But I definitely didn't have, you know, the right mechanics. You know, everyone when they're younger, you know, you always you kind of push it and use two hands and you know, it's not, you know, the perfect form and stuff. So, you know, it was in between eighth and ninth grade that I was definitely strong enough, you know, to change to, you know, a one-handed shot. And I think, you know, Bo, it was definitely, you know, not pretty at all before. And I think Bo, you know, helped me get, you know, my right hand under the ball and, you know, not using your guide hand as much and all that kind of stuff. You know, but from once I kind of got that down, I kind of created my own, you know, version of it. And then it kind of just kept evolving as I've gotten older.
Wofford headed to the NCAA tournament. Fletcher McGee, my guest. Now going back to work ethic, Buffton says that he told you to come to the gym at 5 a.m. You showed up at 4:45 a.m. The next week you asked if you could start at 4 a.m. Fletcher, 4 a.m. What were those sessions like and where did that drive come from?
Dang. I don't know if it was ever that early. It might have been really early like that. Yeah, I just remember, you know, going in before school and, you know, wanting to get as much time in there as I could, you know, so we would just shoot on this thing called the gun. And, you know, I think it's really good for people that are trying to, you know, groove their shot mechanics. So we would just, it's the thing where you shoot the ball into the net and then it passes it back out to you. So you can get a lot of shots up in a short amount of time. And so we would just, you know, go on that and he would, you know, help me with my form and, you know, where I was missing and kind of help me correct my shot. So, you know, we did that in the summer some before in between eighth and ninth grade. And then we did that in ninth and 10th grade some as he, you know, continued to help me there.
All right. So when you were recruited, what was it about Wofford that made you feel like that was the place for you?
So the coaches, I felt like, really recruited me hard, and I just got that sense that they really wanted me here. So that kind of attracted me to the school. And then, you know, I was visiting here, and I just really loved the culture that the players had, that the coaches had, you know, the community, and everyone on campus was so nice and just treated everybody well. And I just thought that, you know, it felt just like home, and it felt like a family, and it was just something that I wanted to be a part of.
We're talking to Fletcher McGee for a few more moments. Wofford going to the NCAA tournament. I mean, you've had an amazing, amazing college career. You recently passed J.J. Redick for second all-time in NCAA three-pointers. When you consider the fact that he is one of the guys that you studied on the way up, one of the best to ever shoot it, what's it mean to hear your name mentioned alongside his with some of the all-time greats?
Yeah, it definitely means a lot, you know, knowing that, you know, how much success he had in the college level, and to pass him is definitely cool. You know, but I'm trying not to get too caught up in everything as I'm, you know, still playing. I think, you know, looking back at it, it'll definitely, you know, be something that is special, but, you know, I'm trying to just, you know, focus on, you know, the next game and whatever I can do to help the team.
I got that. One last thought. You could have left school after last year, and you actually did work out for some NBA teams like the Lakers. What was that experience like, and what was your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, it was a great experience just to go, you know, to compete against guys that are, you know, trying to make the NBA, that have declared for the draft or are seniors that are leaving. You know, it's great for you because you get to go against the competition, great competition, and you really get to see where you stand. And that was something that I think I really needed and something that was really good for me. One of my biggest takeaways was probably just, you know, learning how to, you know, operate better with the ball, making better reads off ball screens. And then, you know, my defense, you know, being, you know, with my size, just trying to, you know, learn anything I can to be as good of a defender as I can, you know, being tough and scrappy against some of the bigger guys. Just learning whatever I can and taking away what I can to be better and, you know, apply it into my game.
He is a two-time Conference Player of the Year, a three-time first-team All-Conference player. Wofford at 29-4. They're undefeated in conference play. Selection Sunday is this Sunday, and they will find out then where they're going to go. Fletcher McGee, my guest. Fletcher, great to have you on. Thank you very much for the visit, man. Good luck to you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Great having you on, Fletcher. Well done. Talking some Wofford basketball again, 18-0 in conference, 29 wins, and now they'll wait to find out where they're going to end up. Remember, Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Make sure you submit a question right there. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so let me reset this for you quickly. I've got a few moments at the end of this hour. If you want to call, go ahead. 1-800-636-8686. I had Jimmy Johnson on already. We talked to Fletcher McGee right there. I started the program by talking about Zion. The two questions going into last night's game between Duke and Syracuse: what shoes would he wear, and would he be back? Zion looked like he missed no time whatsoever. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you're seeing a beautiful shot of the ocean. Nice. Hey, Rome, must be nice. Oh, it's really nice. In addition to that, some other things I want to cover. We are wide open until the middle of hour number three when God Sham God comes on. I want to talk more about the Steelers. There is an update. An update about the Steelers. And when I get to that, I'm going to make a really bold statement. You know, they pay me to put myself out there. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my neck on the line and talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Something you have not heard yet, I'm sure. That's coming up later on. Kareem Hunt, suspended for the first 8 games of the upcoming NFL season. The NFL announced that this morning. I want to double back and share my thoughts on that as well. Tiger Woods having a tough time on the track. Hefty having a tough time off the track. That gal from Full House is not the only one having a tough week. That dude with the full belt, Hefty, is also having a tough week. He also was involved with Rick Singer. That scummy guy that was helping people cheat to get their kids into college. Hefty says, yes, we used his services, but no, we did not do that. Something else, if you know anything about this show, this show is also known for its archive and its library of great 911 calls. Normally, they have nothing to do with anything, but they're good enough that I can play them on this show. We have a 911 call that has everything to do with sports. And I will have that for you a little bit later on. About a quick phone call or two to end hour number one. Let's go to Parody Larry. Why the hell not? It's Friday. Lawrence, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, Jim. Don McLean wants to say something about Hawk's marathon run. Hawk is eating way too much pie as he's training for the big race, but this pigeon won't fly. His back will give out, and then he'll lay down and cry, thinking this could be the day that I die. At least he's going to give it a try. Hawk, it's not a piece of cake, baby. And don't
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Larry, I gave you a shot to even get to your chorus, and you couldn't do that for me. And no matter what, I'll see you in the week that was. See you in the week that was. You could have been in that last segment, which included the week that was, and I would see you in the week that was. All right, let's go back to Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson is running in the Boston Marathon. Jimmy Johnson, the driver of the 48, one of the best to ever do it, somehow is finding the time to work in 80 miles of road work a week. He's not driving it in the 48 or in that pace car that people thought that I broke. He's running 80 miles a week on top of everything he's already doing. At Salahandro tweets, no disrespect to the legend that is Jimmy Johnson and all those Super Bowls. Signed, Hawk. That's pretty great. Hawk saying, yeah, no disrespect to Jimmy Johnson. Number one, Hawk, have you even ever heard of Jimmy Johnson? And number two, you just disrespected him. I love that. So Jimmy Johnson's doing 80 miles a week, a month out of a marathon. I said, Hawk, you're running a marathon in a week. How many miles a week are you doing right now? Yeah, Jim, I haven't run in 10 days. But no disrespect to Jimmy Johnson. I know what I'm doing. Dear Jim, the NASCAR drivers that I grew up watching could not run 80 yards in a week. Roger in H-Town. Yeah, if you look at pictures of Jimmy Johnson back in the day, my man is leaned out. He is truly committed to fitness, nutrition, and doing things the right way. But you're right, back in the day, they weren't doing that. Jumpman. Is there anything less surprising than Mickelson using Rick Singer to get his kids into college? Oh, wait. He didn't get insider stock tips or wagering advice from Billy Walters, right? The only thing less surprising than this story would be as if his name didn't come up in the Orchid Massage Bob Kraft story. Jim in Chicago, war not being a bag, Phil. And there was one guy who's not buying any of Phil's bagginess. Phil wants to make it clear he used Singer's services but did not do any of those criminal things. I will have that for you a little bit later on. Second hour is wide open. Stay tuned.